even notice.
Wouldn't even pay any attention to it. And you know what? I know I don't go to a massage parlor if it's not on the first floor anyway. First floor is okay. Second floor, HJ. That's the rule. That's the rule.
All right, so massage parlor. Yes. First floor, okay.
Second floor, HJ. Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
We want to kick off today. Katie has done the honor of preparing another script for us. Yes. Today we have Rambo First Blood 2. Is that correct?
No, it is Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Okay.
And this is a dramatic reading from one of my favorite scenes.
Okay. And now I have never seen this film.
I can't believe you've never seen Rambo.
I've never seen Rocky.
Oh,
I've never seen either of these movies.
I picked these purposefully, thinking that you have seen them.
No, maybe I'll see them now. Now that I've been in them, I'll have a look at it.
Now that you've been in one.
Yes. Now that I've started. So I will be playing the part of Cobow.
Cobow, and I'm going to be Rambo.
Okay.
John Rambo.
That is.
And you can also be stage directions.
Too. Now, is Rambo his real last name or is that his nickname?
Yes, his name is John Rambo.
And he just happens to be a badass.
He's a badass, yeah.
Okay.
Instead of just calling him Rambo.
Well, I guess that's eponymous now because now a Rambo is a badass. But in the past, it was just like John Phillips.
Is that Italian?
Yes.
Is that Italian? What is Rambo?
Really? You know it is.
Right. So basically, he's a Vietnam vet. He's in prison.
Okay.
You've seen Rambo First Blood.
Okay. And there are like eight Rambos.
Something like that.
In the most recent one,
there's more Rockies than Rambos, I think.
I confuse him. In the most recent one, did he kick a man's head off or like punch a man's head off?
He might have. I don't put it past him.
Don't mess with John Rambo.
Right. So he goes to Vietnam to, the government sends him there to take pictures of empty POW camps, saying
okay.
there's nobody's missing in action. Everybody's gone.
Okay.
It's 1985. There should be nobody there.
Yes. Years after the First Blood.
Yeah.
Part one. Are they all called Rambo First Blood?
No, I don't think so.
Part two, three, or four. Okay.
It might be Rambo something else after this. I think First Blood is...
The late years. Son of Rambo.
Well, it's because they start with him. That's why it's First Blood. They drew First Blood. He didn't do it.
Ah, that's right. Okay. All right. Yeah. So now you transcribed this. Is that correct?
I transcribed this. Nice. I was just like flipping channels and I came upon the scene and I decided to transcribe just straight from what I was saying.
Okay. So set the scene.
So, it's exterior, day, on a crappy boat sailing upstream.
On a river. Crappy boat? Okay.
I think every dramatic reading that we do, it's going to be on a crappy boat. Sharknado was on a crappy boat. Okay, so on a crappy boat sailing upstream on a river somewhere in Vietnam. You could do the...
Assorted river pirates, of course, keep themselves busy sailing the vessel. One passenger, John Rambo, 30s. Really? Muscular, wearing a tank top and a matching headband around his head, so he's undercover, takes a moment to rest. His travel companion, that's me, Agent Cobow, 20s, pretty and delicate, yet tough, sits nearby. Soft?
Soft, yet tough.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm Rambo.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in on your line.
Okay. After I left Special Forces, I moved around a lot.
Why did you leave the Army?
No, there's no the...
Oh,
you have to be.
Sorry.
All right,
oh.
We're going to stop this because you have to realize this is word for word.
Okay.
And she speaks with no accent.
So she's ESL. She's English as a second language.
Right.
So she's occasionally going to drop, you know, the A, the and, the.
Right.
But she has no accent.
No accent.
Okay. Can we begin the scene again at your line? Thank you.
Yes. From the top.
From the top.
After I left Special Forces, I moved around a lot.
Why you leave Army? That just sounds racist.
Right.
this is how it is, people.
Came back to the States and found there's another war going on.
What war?
Kind of a quiet war.
Rambo absentmindedly carves scratches in the floor of the boat with his massive hunting knife, just nonchalant.
Yeah, just kind of like towing the dirt. He's talking to a girl. He's like,
it's
a little nervous. Okay, war against all the soldiers returning. It's the kind of war you don't win. It's my problem. Hey, how about you? How did you get into it?
My father worked for intelligence agency. He killed, and I take his place. There's too much death here. Death everywhere. Just want to live, Rambo. Maybe go to America?
No.
Live the quiet life?
No. She wanted to go.
What?
Maybe go America.
You have two written here.
Maybe go to America.
Yeah, maybe go to America. That's okay. What I said.
You said America.
I'm sorry. Maybe go to America. Live the quiet life. What you want?
Ah, no. To win. Survive.
Not so easy to survive. Still war here.
To survive war, you've got to become war.
That why they pick you? Because you like to fight?
I'm expendable.
Yes, he is. Expendables 2, starring Sylvester Stallone. Expendable? What mean, expendable?
It's like someone invites you to a party and you don't show up. Doesn't really matter.
Rambo reaches over and touches the pendant on her necklace with his index finger. What?
Yeah, totally.
He just had a knife out and was carving things on the floor.
Yeah, and then he, like, reaches over.
To her breast, basically.
Yeah, and has to, with one finger, touch the pendant.
Ooh, okay.
Right? What's this?
Get off! It bring me good luck. What bring you good luck?
Rambo holds up his huge hunting knife. I guess this.
Oh my goodness. Is this is not the opening scene to the movie, is
it? This is like smack in the middle. This is the where they get to know each other.
Does she make it to America in the movie? What? This is so crazy.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
Oh yeah, I have to watch and see. So that was our rendition of First Blood 2.
Rambo.
Rambo.
First Blood Part 2.
First Blood Part 2. Jeez. I can't imagine how this didn't get made earlier than it did. Are you kidding? He killed. I take his place.
Yeah.
There's too much death here. Death everywhere.
Yeah. I just want to live the simple life.
Just want to live, Rambo. Maybe go to America. But let me keep, like, this woman is a special agent.
Yeah.
But she has simple dreams.
Yeah.
Do they sleep together?
I don't think. I think they kiss. I think
it's the 80s, so that would have been a little racy because she's Asian.
It's one of the beats where you know that they're going to get together and then she dies.
Oh.
Did I ruin it?
Yes. Damn you.
All right.
I like it, though. Mm-hmm. Crappy sailing boat. Well played. You're like tearing up.
I know.
It was that Rambo. It was moving.
I know.
Katie's moved. Okay.
Okay, Jaquetta is going to perform Discount Celebrity for us.
Yeah, Discount Celebrity. We haven't had it in a while because it takes preparation.
It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of research.
And you have to have a spark. You have to have an idea. Right. And our spark for today.
Well, it is Discount Celebrity. It's basically where we have an A-lister, but times are tough. You know, money's tight.
Still.
Yes. And so if you're making a movie and you want to have that A-lister.
Just go ahead and cough if you have to. I can cut it out. It doesn't matter. I don't want you to die choking here. All right.
You can't afford your A-lister. So we give you suggestions for the B or the C or the D.
Or the F-lister.
Yeah.
For your Chris Tuckers.
So helming Discount Celebrity this week. Yeah. Jaquetta.
So I had a spark. And I was on the subway and I saw an ad for shows coming up in the fall.
Oh, great.
So every year in the subway, there's like a huge media push. There's ads everywhere. Some of these shows make it. Some end up being like Pepper Dennis or Made in New Jersey.
Pepper Dennis.
Today's A-lister is none other than Will Arnett.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
He is the BFF of Jason Bateman, exactly. For those of you that don't know.
So he was born in 1970.
Really?
He is Canadian. Exactly. I was just discussing this with Chonila.com. They're Canadian podcasters. And I said to her, you have all these Canadian actors. They don't say shit about it.
Yeah.
It's like you have to catch them in the act. You have to catch them like drinking a Molson's. Yeah, drinking a Molson's, you know, thinking about moose or whatever. So he is born in 1970, a young man in our eyes.
That's right.
Birth name William Emerson Arnett.
Oh, Emerson. That's classy.
Very classy. 6'2.5".
Oh.
So he put that on there. Or one. That's actually might be legitimate because he's Canadian. So he's saying 1.89 meters.
Okay.
All right. It turns out that he was a bit of a bad boy growing up.
Bad boy.
Like he got kicked out of schools. Oh. He was sent away to boarding school. He got kicked out of the boarding school.
Really? For what? Pranks?
Drinking and smoking.
Oh.
Too much.
Really?
So he was sent away because he was drinking and smoking. And then he got there and he drank and smoked so much that they were like, just get out. Yeah, he was that bad.
Oh my. I have something in common with him. I was
were sent away to boys' school for drinking and smoking?
No, I was asked to leave all girls' school.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened?
I had the choice.
Oh, that's what they said.
You have a choice. You either stop disrupting everyone in class.
What were you doing? Oh, yeah. Shouting out answers.
Basically, you know what I would do? No. No, I was not. I was, in French class, I would speak English with a French accent instead of speaking French.
Oh, that's just shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten reprimanded for shtick before.
Yeah.
There should be an allowance for shtick in the classroom.
Sure.
You're just trying stuff out. You're a comic.
Right.
You didn't know. Well, yeah. You knew. Now, were these, this is in
I
Catholic?
Paid the price.
Yes. In Catholic school?
In Catholic school.
I was kicked out of boarding school for a week for just generally having a bad attitude and refusing to clean up my room before like 8 o'clock.
What?
And they they brought me into the disciplinary committee, and I quoted Woody Allen. I think I said this is like a sham of a courtroom or something like that. And they just looked at me, and then I was like, if you're kicking me out, then do so. And they were just like, okay, I guess we'll discuss this. Because you're supposed to feel bad.
Oh, right.
They give
right.
you an opportunity to have remorse. But I was like, or I could go home for a week.
Right. And so you did.
I went home for a week. And my mom was like, all right, well, I guess, I don't know, do whatever you do and then go back.
Yeah.
I mean, what's she going to do?
Right.
So anyway, he was born in Toronto, the son of Edith Alexandra and Emerson James Arnett.
Oh.
So that's where the Emerson comes from. And his father was a corporate lawyer and a brewer.
Oh.
Among other things.
Well.
Canadian, you know, they just brew Molsons on the side.
I think you have to be a brewer yes. in Canada, right?
At least a distiller.
Right.
In Toronto, he went to Francophone schools. He speaks French, but he says he's currently not fluent.
Same as me.
In the language.
I'm like his twin.
Maybe he can do it with a French accent. He can speak English with a French accent. Yeah. He went to Lakefield College School in Lakefield, but was asked not to return for being a troublemaker.
Okay.
Then he was sent away to the school and got kicked out again. He went to Concordia University in Montreal, but he dropped out. And at age 20, he moved to New York City, and he went to the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute. And he began, you know, getting work in plays. And his first acting role was in the Felicity Huffman independent film Erie, which I remember.
Oh.
Which was filmed on the Erie Canal.
On about vampires?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know it was a sleeper movie.
Okay.
That's all I know. It says early struggles. So basically, the long short of this guy is that everything that he's tried to do has crashed and burned.
Aww.
Like, if he's in a series, it doesn't work at all. So he was in the pilot for this piece called The Underworld in 1996. It was about an organized crime family, and he had a major role, but they got rid of it.
Oh.
Then he was in the pilot for the Mike O'Malley show on NBC. You remember that show?
No.
Me either, because they canceled it after, like, two seasons. I mean, after two shows.
They have to give shows three tries. Three watches, three bears.
They don't do it anymore. They yank stuff right away. If you don't see the first one and it doesn't register in the Nielsen ratings or whatever, the thing
That's
is off.
Stupid.
Yeah, because sometimes it takes me weeks to start watching a show.
Yeah.
And then in
we're all not like in front of our TVs right at the moment.
So in 2000, after that show was canceled, he didn't get any work for a long time and he took to the bottle.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, he drank.
So this was in the 90s.
This was late 90s. So
in New York?
In New York.
I was around New York in the late
90s. Did you
90s.
See him?
I wonder if we both were drinking. We're both, you know, not speaking French.
Oh, I think, was I here then? No, I was abroad drinking and not speaking French. So he said in 2000, that was a turning point for him. So I'm guessing he hit rock bottom. That's usually what people mean by turning point. And then he was cast in 2001 in a television pilot for a show called Loomis. Remember that one?
Mm.
Guess what? The pilot was dropped right away.
Oh my God.
Then he finally got his big break for a CBS sitcom called Still Standing. The show was picked up and it ran for several seasons, but after the pilot, they cut his character.
Oh.
I know.
Oh my
then
God.
Then he was, let's see. And then finally in 2003, Arrested Development.
Oh, good.
So he got Arrested Development, and his character, he plays Joe Bluth in the Bluth family, and his character was voted the most popular character on there, and he was nominated for an Emmy. He didn't win, but he was on the top 50 catchphrase list with, I've made a huge mistake.
Oh.
Have you seen? He says it all the time.
I know he says it all the time, but that's the catch. That's
the catchphrase.
Repeat that.
I've made a huge mistake. That's my Will Arnett. This is as good as I can do. I love Will Arnett's voice. He does a lot of voiceover work. He's done more voiceover and commercial work than anything
else.
Yeah,
I do too. He has a very resonant, deep voice.
His character, Joe Bluth.
So do I.
So do you. Yeah. His character, Joe Bluth, did a little piece as Max the Magician on Sesame Street, and they referred to The Final Countdown, which I love.
Oh, okay. It's just so funny. If you've never seen it, he's a magician on the show, and they play The Final Countdown.
Yeah, and I'll put a little piece of that in. It's really, if you ever want to underwhelmed audience, come out to the final countdown and just don't do anything. Because everyone's all excited and then nothing happens. And then what happened? He's known for playing smug antagonists. All right. And he's known for his deep, sonorous voice. Also, his failed marriage to Amy Poehler, his second failed marriage.
Who was he married to before?
His first marriage was to Penelope Ann Miller. They were married for a year.
Penelope Ann Miller? She was big in the 90s.
Yes, in 1994. Wow. I guess she was too big for him. So they married in 94. 95, they got divorced.
She was in The Freshman.
Yeah. And then he dated Missy Yeager for 4 years, and they were on the Mike and O'Malley show, but the show started and then ended, and so did they, basically.
Oh, no. So then, yeah, he was with Amy Poehler, and when they announced their divorce,
I was shocked.
Comedians everywhere just fell to
their knees. Yeah, because they were both such really cool people.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be so Arnett was signed on for a supporting role in Ye Olde Times with Jack Black, but that fell through. He signed on to another project called Jeff the Demon for New Line Cinema. That fell through. He signed on to the lead role for The Ambassador, and then that fell through. I mean, pretty much cast him.
He did one with, what's her name, with the beautiful hair. And she cut it, and everyone went crazy.
Who? With beautiful hair.
Was it Felicity or something? There was a show.
So, coming to be more recent with him. So, I have his filmography. These are more things that he's been in that have been cut, apparently. So, Up All Night.
Up All Night. I liked Up All Night.
I liked it, too.
Christina Applegate.
Yeah, and then Maya Rudolph, the TV, Katie and Jaquetta.
That's right. So, a listener wrote to us and told us that we were the podcast equivalent of Christina, I was going to say Aguilera.
Yes.
Christine Applegate and Maya Rudolph.
So he was in Up All Night. That got canceled. Then he was in that show, You're Great, with Felicity Huffman. And now I'm trying to remember the name of it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do you want to answer that?
Yeah.
Hey, you know it.
Hello. Hey, you know it.
Nothing.
It was like a broken dial tone.
Okay. Oh, maybe it's someone trying to get in. Maybe it's the door thing.
Probably, yeah.
Why can't I find the name of that? What was the name of that show?
It was something...
He played, like, a guy... He was married to a woman who was, like, virtuous, and he was an asshole.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the theme of the show?
Or, no, he was trying to get in her... Like, they were childhood friends, and she didn't want to...
Running Wild.
Right.
Is that it?
Yes.
So he was starring in Running Wild, a comedy where he played a spoiled rich man opposite Carrie Russell. The daughter of his father's former housekeeper. And then that got cut due to poor ratings. And he was in the increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret.
Which
I can't look at. Because I can't look at David Cross.
I like David Cross, but I still couldn't watch that.
I couldn't watch the show. That also, nothing happened with that. That's the sound for something getting cut. He's done tons and tons of voiceover work. He does CBS promos, but can't keep a show. Maybe that's why they keep trying to work with him. Because he's hanging around CBS all the time, talking about other people's shows, doing promos.
And his own, a nice voice.
Yeah, his own shows aren't really going anywhere. He did ads for GMC Trucks.
Yeah.
And then he was supposed to be the voice of Kit in the new Knight Rider movie that came out.
Been one hilarious car.
So he's working with GM. GM was behind that movie.
Yeah.
And then they fired him. They asked him to leave, and they brought on Val Kilmer. How weird is that?
It's really weird.
He's a regular on the Fox. He was a regular on the Fox comedy series Sit Down and Shut Up. And you can guess what happened to that.
Oh,
it got cut because he was in it. He's got two older sisters and a younger brother. He's got a kid. He's got some failed marriages behind him. And here's what he has coming up. He's in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
Which they're renewing. All Everybody right. is in that. He's with Megan Fox as the main character.
Oh.
William Fichtner is Shredder. Whoopi Goldberg is in it.
Wait, Megan Fox is what turtle?
No, she's April.
Oh, okay.
What? That I would love to see. She's April the reporter.
Oh.
And then Will Arnett is the guy who's the cameraman who's like the rival.
Okay.
We all know what that's about. Right, and then and next year he's also going to be in the Lego movie, which is he's being the voice of Batman, and an ordinary Lego minifigure, mistakenly thought to be an extraordinary master builder, is recruited to join a quest to stop an evil Lego tyrant from gluing the universe together and selling Legos.
You can stop. Like, you can stop with that.
Starring Channing Tatum.
Really?
Channing Tatum.
Is he going to take off his clothes?
No, he's going to be Superman. Elizabeth Banks, Morgan Freeman, Liam Neeson, as a bad cop, Jonah Hill, Will Ferrell, Nick Offerman, and Charlie Day. He's also in the piece called The Nut Job, which is not a porn. He just does a voiceover, and that's with Katherine Hagel, Brendan Fraser, and Will Arnett. And then in The Millers, a TV series. Now, this is what made me think of him. So there's a new TV series called The Millers, with when Nathan Miller, Will Arnett, informs his parents of a recent divorce, his father, Beau Bridges, he's still awake.
Oh, right. This is
slap yourself in the face a couple times.
This is a Seth MacFarlane show, and it's already getting criticism for being racist.
Really? What a surprise, because he's not, none of their work is racist at all, or misogynist. No. Beau Bridges follows suit and leaves his wife, Margot Martindale, who's 43 years, complicating Nathan's life. So in the picture, there's Will Arnett opening a shower curtain. He's like, I guess, in the shower.
He's like, Dad, why are you here?
And then there's Beau Bridges and a very unattractive woman, like, brushing her teeth, which I guess is supposed to be his mom.
Yeah.
It looks, I'm guessing that because it's Will Arnett is not going to make it.
Okay.
But there it is. And that is Will Arnett.
Oh, great. Okay, so if you can't get Will Arnett.
If you cannot get Will Arnett, okay. You get this guy, Glenn Howerton.
Glenn Howerton.
He plays Dennis on Always Sunny.
Right. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And if you guys have never seen this, you need to watch it.
The reason,
it's got Charlie Day in it.
Sorry. The reason why I like him so much is he's one of these guys who's like, why the long face?
Yeah.
He play, like Will Arnett, he plays an attractive man on TV.
Yes.
Like, I can't vouch for that outside. So Glenn Howerton, there's not much information about him. I looked all over the place. It's kind of bizarre. He was born in 1976. He's an American television and film actor. He's best known as his role as Dennis Reynolds in It's Always Sunny. And he played Corey Howard in that 80s show. Did you see that?
I didn't see that 80s show.
And in 2008, he was in a horror film called The Strangers. What's interesting about him is he was born in Japan. Mm-hmm. And he's a military brat.
Oh, all right.
His dad was a fighter pilot. And his dad is Glenn Franklin Howerton Jr. So that makes him the third.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know people still did that.
Oh, sure.
He grew up in London, South Korea, and then...
If you have the chance, be a third.
Yes. He grew up in London, South Korea, and then Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh.
After graduating from high school there, he did 2 years at the New World School of Arts, and then he came and worked at... he went to Juilliard.
Oh.
And apparently he did very well
What did he do at Juilliard?
BFA.
Really?
It says BFA. While earning his degree, he worked as a drama teacher. In the summertime. He's pretty cool. Oh. He's fluent in Mandarin, Korean, French, Spanish, and can speak some German and Farsi. That always intrigues me. You know what I mean? And not for anything to do with acting. You know, it's just that's his thing.
Because of his background. Yeah. That's where he lived. Yeah.
He's guest starred on ER at 6 episodes. He was in Serenity, Must Love Dogs, 2 Weeks, The Strangers. He played an emergency room nurse in Crank and in Crank High Voltage.
How tall is he?
He is... Oh, God damn it. I did not find out how tall
he is.
No. He's 5'10". I remember. I remember that he's 5'10", from my research.
So he's got inches.
Yeah, he's got a...
It's 4.5-inch difference.
4.5-inch difference. However, this guy is all writer. So he's executive producer and writer of The Always Sunny, and it's in its 10th and final season this year. This guy has never won shit. Like, I did my research on him. He never gets nominated for anything. He just cannot get a piece of anything that's going on. He's really trying, though. He's got some projects that are coming up that are in the works, but I couldn't really find out that much about it. He's been on The Cleveland Show. He does voiceover work as well, just like Will Arnett.
Okay.
And he does the comedy roles, but he doesn't consider himself to be a comedy actor. Like, he considers himself to be an actor.
He's an actor, and he does comedy.
And he's been gotten comedy roles. I've seen him in a lot of small things where he's been uncredited, which has been kind of interesting. But he seems like quite an interesting guy. And the reason why I think Glenn Howerton is the discount is because he has that same kind of look. He plays like a smarmy kind of antagonistic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the humor going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the acting chops.
All right.
But he's just not getting the same kind of work. But I think anything that you see Will Arnett in, you could probably replace him with this guy.
I love this discount. This is a really good one.
And the only reason why I'm saying that Glenn Howerton is 60% off... Is because he doesn't have the hook into the network that Will Arnett does.
Oh, okay.
Somebody at the network is clearly gunning for Will Arnett. How many failed series can a man be in and stay around the studios?
Right.
Plus, Glenn Howerton does not have the BFF, you know, who's got power.
That's right.
If you cannot get Will Arnett, and you probably can't, and you might not want to because then your series might not make it, you can always go with Glenn Howerton, the executive producer and writer of It's Always Sunny, and let's keep an eye on him.
Let's do that. I think he's got a lot of potential.
The lack of stuff that I could find on him made me like him even more. Here's what he has to say about not being... He said they asked him in a Rolling Stone, which I didn't know was still around. How is it possible that It's Always Sunny has never been nominated for an Emmy? And he basically says, look, it's because we don't schmooze. We don't go to the parties. We don't play the game. You know, people love the show. And he says, it's this, you know, I don't know, maybe in the 10th season, just because it's the last season for the sake of the show, maybe we'll try to butter some people up. But then again, this is why I like him. But then again, part of me wants to be like, fuck you, you motherfuckers. Sorry, fuck you, you fucking motherfuckers, man.
So, love it.
So that's it. He says he wants to go into directing. One of my favorite movies is one of his favorite movies. It's The Host by Park Chan-wook and Jun Ho-bong, which is a really creepy Korean-Asian horror film. Okay. He said he wants to do some creepy, dark, messed up stuff, but he doesn't know if American audiences are ready for it.
Oh, we're ready for it.
I'm ready
for it. Lay
it
on us.
So that's our celebrity discount.
That is spectacular. Love it. Woo! We come back with a goodie.
That was hard.
It was really good.
Some celebrities, there's like, his IMDb is like, good luck. Why don't you go ask him? You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. All right, so what do you got?
I have your, I have The Week in Bateman.
Sweet. Speaking of Will Arnett.
Yeah.
So I like how you just have it on a piece of paper. Katie went old school.
No, I have more to it.
Oh, you do? Okay. So The Week in Bateman is a segment that we do on our, I can't even say our favorite, it's our most decentest actor.
Yes.
Which is Jason Bateman. We think he's decent. We don't find him sexually attractive.
And we don't love him.
We don't love him at all, but he's out there, he's doing interesting stuff, and we want to report
him.
He
is decent, and we dedicate this segment to him.
Is he still on vacation with Jennifer Aniston? I'll tell you one thing. If I were his wife,
what?
Paul was his wife, Amanda Anka,
uh-huh,
who is Jason Bateman's wife, they go on vacation a lot with Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux.
Okay.
I would not want my husband being friends with Jennifer Aniston, just saying.
Okay.
And I'm not going on vacation.
She seems nice.
With
she
Jennifer.
Seems nice,
she seems but nice, but yeah. I'm not putting on my bikini and sitting next to her at the pool.
Right,
I don't think
right,
so.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Well, I was alerted to an old Jason Bateman show called It's Your Move.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, you might have seen it. I
this is back when I probably watched TV. Is it the 80s or 90s?
Yeah, this is the 80s.
Okay.
My one of my colleagues, Amy,
okay,
sent me a link.
Thanks, Amy. Shot glass.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Your Move. And I watched an 11-minute segment of one of the shows.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, so It's Your Move. Okay. Jason Bateman. Guys, got to watch it because he was like maybe 13.
So was this a sitcom?
It was a sitcom,
okay,
where he was kind of...
I wish it had been like a game show.
Yes. All right. Let's see. His name was Matthew Burton, and he was a teenage scam artist who lived in a California apartment with his older sister.
Oh my goodness.
And widowed mother. And he ran various underhanded dealings with high school friends.
So that's the premise.
Yeah. Such as, like, he and his friend Eli, they sold term papers, they stole answer keys to tests.
Okay.
And blackmailed people. I know.
I mean, this doesn't, I mean, and I know it's a sitcom, but it sounds a little, like, untoward.
Right. No? Basically, yeah. And so then some guy moves next across the hall and starts dating the mother.
Of course.
And he's, like, the same kind of guy, like a scammy guy like that, too. And
what does that say about the mother?
Yeah, right. And she's oblivious to the whole thing.
Of course.
And so the two of them are always trying to run their scams and trying to trip up each other, but they're not doing
it. Now, how was his acting?
He acted the same way he does now. He had the same mannerisms where he crosses his arms and rolls up on his toes.
Can we just go ahead and say that he doesn't act?
He has the same
he's
delivery.
The same character.
The same pauses, the same timing, the same thing. He even wears like the same like watch.
Is he wearing a blue sweater? He's still in the friggin' 80s, this guy. You know what? There's nothing wrong with you got a shtick, and that's your shtick. Probably his shtick fell out of style for a little while, and then they were like, we want that shtick again.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's worth watching it so you can see exactly he acted the same way at 13 that he does now.
He's reliable.
Yeah. And one of in that pilot, also, River Phoenix was in it.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I was reading more, and I said, oh, my God. One episode was called The Dregs of Humanity, and I remember watching it. It's where they...
This must have been on for less than a season. Really? The Dregs of Humanity?
He was trusted to hire the band for the school dance. And
even though he's like a huge scam artist.
Right. And so he lost the money somehow. Mm. And so to cover the loss, he crafts the rise and fall of a band called the Dregs of Humanity.
This sounds very familiar to me.
And acts as their manager. And what they are, they're really four skeletons stolen from the bio lab.
I totally have seen this.
You've seen this. And he has strings.
Are you kidding
me? And a smoke machine, and he brings them out. And then it was really successful, actually. And somebody interviewed them for, like, a band magazine, like a music magazine.
Did he have a nemesis in the show?
Yeah, this is the guy.
The truth, right?
No, the guy across the hall, somebody. And the interview makes them even more popular. And the Palladium called and wanted them to perform for $20,000. Right? The Palladium. My God. Do you remember the Palladium?
Yes, I do.
Okay. They agree to the gig. They have the dregs. The dregs fail to show up to this sold-out concert.
Being skeletons. And did they fake a death?
Yeah, he concocted a story that the band drove off a cliff.
Of course. I was going to say.
And then they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
This is why I'm such a bad writer.
That's so funny. Yes. I can't believe. And I totally remember.
I remember this.
But the Palladium, man. Then I started thinking about the Palladium.
Oh, Lord.
Which was a club here in New York.
New York had clubs. This is before bottle service. This is before.
It's on 14th Street. I remember going there with my fake ID. Mm-hmm. Then when I was of age, I remember going there too.
Yes, with the same fake ID.
I remember going in with a bottle of champagne in my coat.
Nice.
And then the bouncer caught me and was like, "You have to give me your phone number."
Well, okay, what were you wearing? Like, what kind of?
It was. Oh, I wore a club outfit, okay. Of course. But I had a coat on.
And you thought, "Hey, I'll just."
No, it was a full bottle of champagne.
I'll just tuck this in. No one will know.
Yeah, and I just kind of like held it with my arm to my side and like walked in with
it. Real cash.
And the bouncer's like, "Hey," and he's like, "Oh," he's like, "You know, give me your number." And I was like, "Okay, here's my number." He's like, "Okay, just go." And he let me in with the bottle.
Wow, a nice underage girl with a bottle.
Yeah. I got to call this one.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's called It's Your Move.
It's Your Move.
And who was the mom? Do we know?
The mom was Karen Kay was her name. Nobody else. You don't know anyone else in this show.
Wow. It's Your
Move. Oh, so except Garrett Morris.
Oh, snap. I so remember this show. Did he play a janitor or something?
Something like that.
The super?
Yeah.
The building
something,
super?
Something.
Garrett Morris has always been like 80 years old. I was watching an old Saturday Night Live and I was like, he's 80 years old then? He's 80 years. He's like perpetual old man. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Like he's grumpy old man. Like, yeah. That's an awesome piece of Bateman news. We're getting historic.
Yeah.
With our Bateman. Because he's not up to much lately.
And one other thing I noticed is that the opening credits... One full minute. I watched the timer.
Is it the whole story?
There's no lyrics to the song. It's just music and
montage.
A montage of them doing like putting up a shelf, or letting someone in the door for a minute. A minute. There's no lyrics.
So now everybody has cold open because they can't risk you getting bored and walking away.
Right.
That's fantastic. I love it. And that is our week in Bateman. Yes. So I have a piece of a public nudity. Occasionally, we like to talk about public nudity, but this is justified.
Okay.
And I thought it was interesting. So
you're for public nudity.
I'm for public nudity. I don't have a problem with it. I would like just a warning.
I don't want it.
I just want a warning. Okay. So this is from the Minnesota Fringe Festival. And actually, I know some people who've done the Minnesota Fringe Festival. They say it's a really cool festival. And don't you know it? Too edgy. Public funds nude-filled play. At Twin Cities Festival. First of all, I don't know what nude filled. Either it's nude or it's not.
Yeah. Nude filled?
Nude filled. Is this nude filled or is this regular? Like nude filled? So first of all, it's a fringe festival. It's and as we all know.
It's just filled with nude.
Yeah, it's filled with nudity. It's the brim.
No, it's just filled with nude.
With nude. That's right. Not nudity. Nude filled. Fringe festivals usually just showcase whatever. And if you're going to see fringe theater, you should be prepared. All right. So they say, how fringe is too fringe when public funding is involved? So apparently the piece was called Fashion Risk or the Accidental Nudist. Oh. Now, right away, there's the clue that there might be nudity in the work.
Right. The accidental. Wow.
Let me just say it sold out. Every show was sold out. So it delighted critics who acknowledged, though, that 11 people who were naked on stage get in the way of the storyline.
They did get in the way of it. Of course they did, yeah.
It said, this is a nude show, probably the nudest show in the 20-year history. Like, once again, either are people getting this that nude is like, you got nothing on, you're butt naked.
Yeah, it's not a degree of nudity.
You're full.
You're either nude or you're not.
Yeah, you're nude or you're not nude. Someone wrote, it's true that the sight of so many naked bodies inevitably diverts attention away from the story of growing up in a family that was unconventional in many ways. But it's also true that she has some really good insight. It's not accidental that the play had standing room only crowds, and that her parents even were bearing all during the production. That wraps up at the end with what Papa Tola, who's the critic, calls a great big nude dance party on stage.
Oh.
So this woman wrote this piece. She grew up with nudists. She didn't want to have an interview with them. But she says it's not just a play that you'll relate to if you're a nudist. It's a play that you'll relate to if you were a kid and you maybe felt awkward sometime. So I get it. She's using the nudity as a metaphor in a way. I mean, that's a lot of people naked on stage. So some people were complaining because it's funded by the state and also the Metro Authority.
Yes. Oh, wow.
The Metro Authority gives free rides to these plays.
Oh, okay.
So someone contacted the Metro Authorities and they were like, it's general knowledge that there's some edgy material at the Fringe Festival. We've partnered with them in the past, and we haven't received any complaints about transit service to this nude production. That was all they had to say. I just think it's so bizarre. Like, it says it's nude. It's going to be nude. Like,
that's it.
And it's sold out. So obviously people want to see public nudity.
Have you seen a nude play before?
Yeah, I've seen nude stand-up comedy.
Oh.
Which actually isn't any worse than not nude stand-up comedy, if it's funny. Mm-hmm. And I saw a play at the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Is it full
Festival.
Nudity?
This is full nudity. All they have on is a mic.
Oh. We just went through what full nudity is.
It's part. They just have mics, and they do it. It's interesting, because when you see any performance that's nude,
guys and girls,
yeah. At first you're like, but then after a while you forget about it.
Yeah.
Because you're focusing on what they're doing. Because once you've seen it, you've seen it.
Oh God! I went out on a date, and it was
less. Was it full? Was it a nude filled?
Nude filled date. It was our first date, and he took me to a play, and
you gotta be careful when you take someone to a performing arts thing.
But he had no idea what it was about. He was just.
It was Caligula.
It was. I forget what it was called. It was something.
Philosophy of the Boudoir.
He thought it was going to be artsy and, like classy.
When was this?
I don't know.
Years ago. Okay.
And years ago.
Yes. In the 20s.
Yeah.
We were doing the flapper moves.
And we got there and, I don't really know him. And
that's why you have to be careful when you take someone to a play, because it's like, then you're like, well, is this his kind of thing?
Yeah, I think he was trying to find something that I liked. And it was just like.
Without knowing you.
Oh, she likes theater, so. Therefore, it's a play, and she'll like it. You know, that kind of a thing. It's upscale. And so there was a sudden, and we were like in the third row, and the performers on stage, it was like a period piece kind of thing. And then there was some simulated sex, and the girl's top was ripped open.
It was a bodice ripper. Nice.
Yeah, it's like total boobs.
Okay.
And then they're doing the simulated sex scene. And he was just mortified.
Really?
And I was just like, I looked at him, and he was just like, oh, God. And then it was like a little awkward afterwards. He's like,
well, yeah, because you've seen sex on your first date.
Basically.
You see, like, the sex has already been had on your date.
Yeah.
Someone else did it.
Did you see that? Guess what we're not doing?
Yes.
Because we saw it. We just saw it.
Did you? Now was that the end of that? Nothing?
No, we dated.
Okay, you dated for a while.
Yeah.
Despite the nudity on stage. I just feel like it's always risky on a first date to go see
nudity.
A film. Not just nudity. No. A film, or if you don't know what it is. Like, I once went on a first date, and a guy took me to see Citizen Kane, one of my favorite movies.
Okay.
So I was like, perfect. We've all seen this. We know what it's going to be about. I maybe mentioned it to him. But it would have been a little different if on a first date you take someone to, like, I don't know, The Hurt Locker.
Right.
Like, that's a bit heavy.
What is that? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there. Very interesting.
But still, when things happen, like, it could be even the person that you're with. You're going to remember, like, a bad movie forever.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to associate that bad movie with them.
That forever.
Yeah.
Batman.
Yeah. Or, like, well, when you take someone on a first date to see World War Z, guess what? It's over.
Yeah.
So I see E. Jean. I have something, but I am excited for Advice on Advice. Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we take advice that we find on the internet that is unqualified. We feel stinks. Smells really bad.
Yeah.
And we improve upon it, and we give advice on that advice, hence the name of our segment, Advice on Advice. So Katie has got classic E. Jean.
E. Jean from Elle Magazine.
Yes.
E. Jean. I have a picture. I brought a picture just because I know you like them.
Thank you. Wow. She's got a new picture.
Yeah, but you can't keep it because I have to.
Okay.
The answer is here.
It looks like there's, like, things falling down around her.
Yeah, she's like, it looks like fabrics coming down from the ceiling.
You know what?
That she's going to do, like, the... that kind of circus thing where she
wraps herself. The aerial silks?
Yeah.
I think I've seen enough pictures of her now that you brought in. I feel like she just snaps a photo real fast in like a modern art museum and runs off.
Probably.
That's what that looks like. Because like I don't think Eugene is setting up a shoot.
That's right.
She's running into an exhibit.
And doing selfies.
Doing selfies. And running off. So what's the advice for today?
Okay. The question is, dear Eugene, I'm average.
What does that even mean? Am I average? Are you average?
Oh.
Okay.
And I live in New York City, which is filled with tall, gorgeous, brilliant, and talented women.
Really? Okay.
I am too average to attract romantic interest from men and establish a great
career. Okay. Once again, like nude. You can't be too nude, too average.
Right.
You're either average or you're not.
Right. I am 5'4", a size 4, mid-level in the looks department.
5'4", size 4?
Yeah, she's 5'4", and
that's
she's
tiny. A size 4.
Yeah. Mid-level in the looks department. Why do mid-level? Like,
I don't know,
it's management.
Yeah. I'm a 2.
I put on foundation and mascara.
Yeah, and that's it.
That's the mid-level. That's all I'm going into managing my
mid-level
life
good looks. Okay.
And smart, but not brilliant.
Aww, oh.
Jesus.
I lack confidence.
I have an adjunct teaching job, but no tenure.
Mm-hmm. Get in line, bitch.
My
come on. I was an adjunct for years. That's most people who are teaching. Yeah.
My mother suggests I move to a rural town where there'll be less competition all around.
Is it that bad? I mean, I tell a lot of women in New York, they could consider like going to, you know, leaving Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Or I always say New Jersey. I'm like the Jersey whisperer.
Yeah.
You look, want a guy in New Jersey?
Go to Jersey.
Yeah, go to Jersey. You don't need to go to the middle of nowhere. You don't need to go to Coleman's Corner, Maryland.
No. Am I just not cut out to find success in a city where most beautiful women in the world reside?
What? Who are these people?
Are my mediocrities keeping me from attracting potential mates and happiness? Should I move?
Yes. How much is your apartment?
She signs off standard model. Like, just my...
All right.
And then she answers, Miss Standard, my Snapdragon.
What does that mean? Am I missing something? That's like a literary allusion that I'm not party to. Is it from the Fairy Queen? What is she talking about? Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. She goes on, bah!
And that's why I like when you bring in Eugene. There's always a sound effect at the opening. Ah! Okay.
So that's the wine talking.
Yes, that's totally... But we said that her name's actually Barbara, right?
Right.
Okay.
We made that up.
Yes.
I once watched one of the ugliest young women in Manhattan, who happened to be remarkably clever, smile at chaps across a crowded bar.
What is she, back into the place? What are you talking about? Looks have nothing to do with it.
She shimmied her shoulders, flipped her hair, flared her nostrils.
What? And no one knew. Flared her nostrils? She sounds like a beast.
I know. She thrust.
She rutted around.
She goes on. She did more things. She thrust out her bosom, twisted her torso so it was better to show off her small waist.
Did Eugene sleep with this woman? What happened?
Laughed at dude jokes, etc., etc., etc. Thus did she captivate more men than did the raving beauties all around her who made no moves.
Who were probably trying to keep a low profile up in this mug. What?
It does not matter where you are. Bozeman, Boston, Beijing, the flirty optimistic... confident woman wins every time.
Okay.
However, your mother may be onto something.
Oh! Yes. Don't unpack if you haven't.
You may feel prettier, more brilliant, and accomplished in a small town. A transplanted New York chick teetering down 3rd Street in Bloomington, Indiana, in neon Louboutins.
Didn't we see that movie with Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, and a silk chiffon bodysuit under a crocheted mini dress could cause quite a riot. What?
Excuse me? Here comes Georgie, girl. What is wrong with Eugene? Eugene is drunk as hell. She's drunk.
Why not try a week there and see what transpires?
So just go to, like, some shit town.
Like Santa Fe. And more examples. Santa Fe, Ithaca. But like Ithaca. Go to Ithaca.
Go to Ithaca. Ithaca's gorgeous. See what happens there.
Jeez.
Wow. See, I would say I don't like this advice at all. I think what she should have told this woman is to just... grow a pair.
Yeah.
And by a pair, I mean balls of confidence.
Right, right.
That's you need? Get some confidence.
Smart, but no, she's a woman is like, I'm smart, but not brilliant. I have a job, but no tenure. I have this, but not that.
Yeah.
That's where she should stop.
Focus on what you have.
What you have, and just be like that.
But also, one of the things about New York I think people need to realize is that people look good in New York because of the amount of money they spend on themselves.
Right.
We've got some of the best hairdressers, makeup artists. I mean, if there's in this city, you can walk out the door and call someone and hire a stylist just for you. To help you put your look together as a regular person.
Yes.
So if you're really that concerned about the looks, what is the average model? Or sorry, standard model. Then go out and get some help. The products are out there.
Right.
People do that.
You can't just be like, this is how I am. No. I got out of the shower this way.
And you don't have to even be a rich one. You can take yourself over to Macy's and get a makeover.
Or and you could just make some friends with some people who will be happy to tell you
yes.
what to do.
Yes. Meet a gay man.
Oh my God. I don't know how many times.
Yes. You're like, stop, please.
They're like, look, this is what you need to do.
Yeah, no one asked you.
Emphasize your décolleté. How many times did I tell you?
She should say, yeah, work with what you have.
Yeah.
Oh.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. That's what I would say.
As much as we get on Eugene, I would have a dirty martini with her in a second out of a God. Mug. Out of a, hey, you know what, mug.
We should email her.
Yes, Eugene.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd love to hear from us. Yeah. We'll meet her in the museum bar of her choice.
Yeah,
right. For advice on my SmackDown.
Awesome. I would love that.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. So I just wanted to give a quick report, some local news from my community of Riverdale. This is a Hey You Didn't Know It.
Hey You Didn't Know It. Oh, this is a segment where we report on the oblivious living among us.
So it says here on the Riverdale Review, which is Riverdale's only locally owned newspaper. It's just owned by some cranky guy, and he like has his friends write the articles, whatever. He gives it out for free. Apparently, another massage parlor, quote unquote.
Massage parlor.
Hoge.
Oh.
Has surfaced in our neighborhood. Now, there were two a couple years ago
whenever
that we reported
on. Whenever you say
hoge,
I always think you're going to say hoagie.
No.
But it's...
I mean, I could call it a hoagie.
Don't. Please.
So there's it says all massage types, Swedish, shiatsu, deep tissue, and facials. Now, a single facial has never happened at this place, let me tell you. It's a HJ place. They online, you can find that the place says two girls, four hands.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
A classified ad on Backpage.com says that it offers the best-looking Latin women in the tri-state area.
No.
My neighborhood is mostly a Jewish neighborhood, so that's like a tip-off right away. And they show pictures of women not wearing clinical uniforms, but lingerie.
Oh.
So the business may be...
Something's fishy here.
Yes. So the business may be reaching out to a particular clientele, and this is where I take issue with it. It says a particular clientele not exactly drawn from the local community. Are you kidding me? We cannot stop having massage parlors in my neighborhood because they're such good business.
Everybody's going there.
We have men in my neighborhood. So there you go.
All right.
They said that they're nervous because it's a family neighborhood. What's not a family neighborhood?
Yeah, where people live, it's a family.
But even if it's not a family neighborhood, does that mean that it's okay to have a hand job palace there?
Right. It's like
if it's just me and Katie and a bunch of people like us that don't have any families, it's okay.
It's okay to have all that.
Yeah, put a crack house there.
Why
just
not?
Katie.
There's no kids.
Yeah, it's not a family neighborhood.
It's just Katie.
It's just Katie. Put it there.
Guys.
I just find it bizarre that these things keep popping up. Then, lo and behold, we come to find out that a guy who owns a strip club, like one of the biggest strip clubs and adult-oriented businesses in the city, is giving money to the guy who is now running for local city council.
Oh, wow.
What a surprise.
Wow.
Look, we should just face that. I've never had a problem with these places. They're always very, very discreet, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like any child is ever going to accidentally wander into a massage parlor.
Do you see a lot of people going in and out the front doors?
Of course. Because they want to get a hand job, and they can't get it at home.
That's sad.
There was one on the main street, actually two blocks from my apartment. Never had a problem with it.
Also, there's like another entrance or exit that's more discreet.
But it's in a location where there are other businesses. So unless you're going, it's like, for example, I'm a black person. There's tanning salons. I don't pay any attention to them at all because it's not my thing.
Right. So you wouldn't even notice.
Wouldn't even pay any attention to it. And you know what? I know I don't go to a massage parlor if it's not on the first floor anyway. First floor is okay. Second floor, HJ. That's the rule. That's the rule.
All right, so massage parlor. Yes. First floor, okay.
Second floor, HJ. Yeah. Right. But it's like, really, you didn't know that another massage parlor was going to pop up? These things, they pay their rent, they make money, they don't cause problems, and their customers are in the neighborhood. Ain't nobody coming from New Jersey to get an HJ in Riverdale.
That's right.
They can get one in New Jersey.
You're kidding.
Or wherever they're coming from. And I love how the council members and the politicians are acting as if they haven't been up in that piece.
What? There's a what?
Yes. You know, in our neighborhood? Ugh. Like, it's so hoity-toity.
This is a family neighborhood.
You know what? It is a nice neighborhood, but people still need an HJ.
Yeah.
So leave him alone, I say. Fine Latin ladies. Maybe that's the problem.
Fine.
Maybe they'd like to have more domestic women.
Yeah.
So.
I have a Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, sweet. Tales from the Campfire, my favorite segment, is where we take some fake lore, tales of the paranormal.
A ghost story.
Ghost stories, urban legends, and we retell them around the digital campfire. So what do you have for us today?
This is simple and sweet.
All right. Should we gather around?
Everybody, gather around the campfire.
Yes. If you were over there, now's the time to come over
right
here.
Right.
The picture looks exciting.
Well, that has nothing to do with it. That's from something else. Okay. That was
like, just a piece of art that you liked.
That was cut off. There was another whole thing to it. All right. My mother and her cousins were enjoying their weekly game of poker.
I bet they were.
While drinking, of course.
Who knew?
And decided to perform a seance. That's how it goes.
Hey, Colbert, guys. So first you're like, we're going to play some Pinochle. Mm-hmm. A couple shots of Jack Daniels later.
Yeah, guess what?
Guess what?
We need some talk to some
people.
Yeah,
we need to bring up the dead.
Right. It was the same week John Lennon was murdered, so they decided to contact him.
Oh, this was a while ago. He just died.
John Lennon?
I mean, according to this thing, it was the week that John Lennon died. Yeah. So give it a rest.
Leave him alone.
R.I.P. You know what that P is for? It hasn't been hard enough.
They turned off the lights, lit some candles, and joined hands.
I'll be damned if I die and a week later some asshole is trying to call me up.
Turned off. I think they were trying to do something else.
Yeah. It's a bunch of ladies.
Hold hands, light candles, and turn off the lights, would you?
All of a sudden everyone's a pagan. Yeah, crystals right. Get involved. Yeah. Everyone's talking about being open-minded. No thanks.
After a while, they finally participated in unison.
What?
And began chanting Lennon's name. Lennon.
That's how we do it. Give me an L. No.
L. Yeah, right.
They're clapping it up. Dun, 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 dun. That's what I'm imagining. Yeah. That's my chant.
A few moments later, a burst of wind came roaring through the house,
mm-hmm,
causing the candles to go out and everyone to freak out.
Like in a film.
Yeah. At that same moment, my mother felt someone grab her by the roots of her hair and slam her forehead against a wine glass.
That was just her sister. Slam her forehead against a wine glass? This is either a very large wine glass or a very small forehead. What the F?
Like an...
Someone tried to cut a bitch.
Yeah, but how did that happen? Like, doesn't the glass then fall over? Because when they turned on the lights, my mother had blood on her forehead and said, damn, Lennon must be pissed.
Maybe they accidentally summoned Lennon, the political figure.
Right.
Vladimir Lennon. And not John Lennon.
Right, and he was like, that's it.
Then I've had enough.
This is a glass, and just slammed it into her forehead.
How you like me now, bitch?
This is one thing I've been carrying around that I'd love to
whip
just,
it out.
All right.
You had this one in your pocket. This is a chestnut at this point.
It's best advice for the bride and groom.
Oy.
It's just, got any marriage tips, right? It's not...
marriage is such a big thing.
Yeah, it's a...
Katie, I got any food tips?
Yep.
I need tips cooking tips.
Yeah.
No, not even cooking, just food.
Food tips.
Anything. No.
This is marriage.
Bananas,
tips.
No.
And so it's like, okay, my son is getting married soon. I thought it might be fun to collect some marriage tips for him and his beautiful bride-to-be. Yes.
You know what? Because people aren't giving him enough fucking advice.
If you're married, care to share the secret of your success? Mm-hmm. Don't be shy. Join the conversation.
The secret of the cable.
It's like, so it's just a whole bunch of people just commenting.
Okay.
And then it's like, every groom is a weak vessel, so love her dearly. It's like, what?
What?
Right.
Every groom is a weak vessel, so love her dearly. I don't know what
I don't know
that
means. I don't know. That's the first one. The first guy shows up and says that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second
person
says...
He just threw a bunch of words together.
Yeah. Give each other their own personal space to have separate interests. Even if you don't understand what he needs, that he needs to go and spend hours chasing, then throwing fish back in the water... Encourage him to have fun.
What?
So
who? I don't know. You know what? If you were in a relationship for a long time, whatever the thing is, like, you are happy if that fucker goes out for a couple hours.
Right. Like, go.
Just want a break.
Go.
You know?
All right. The next comment is teamwork, smiley face.
Mm-hmm. That's the tip?
That's a tip. The next one is, this is your day to be queen. Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So it's like...
For men or for ladies.
Yeah.
Because now we can do that. That's fine. It's progressive.
Let him think everything is his idea. LOL. Well, so this...
My favorite thing about ideas is there's a scene in Futurama. There's Leela, who's a woman, and then Fry is the guy who's always in love with her, and he's kind of dim, and he says, I've got an idea, and she immediately says, I've got a better idea.
Yeah.
That's marriage. Yeah. That's my tip.
Here's another one. Ask the caterer to make up some leftovers in a to-go bag. After the reception, you'll realize it's been hours since you ate anything but cake, and you'll be starving.
That's a good tip. I ate nothing at any of my weddings. I had meals afterwards.
At some point during the pre-wedding planning, your future wife may become easily irritated, start having crazy nightmares, and you'll probably start to argue over really stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She still loves you.
That's a marriage.
Yeah.
You're already married.
Yeah, she loves you. Everyone and all the details are just driving her crazy. Also, a marriage counselor is an awesome idea before the wedding because it will help you both communicate so the petty squabbles aren't frequent. Good luck.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Therapy before you get married?
Right. Be willing to snuggle. Just snuggle from time to time. Write that down.
Okay. Say, write that down.
Yeah.
I still like the vessel one. I don't know what that means. Yeah. A groom is a weak vessel.
Yeah. So love her. So it's just like you're a piece of shit, so just you better love her.
Yeah, just don't.
Death.
You know what? The RuPaul style, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, just don't. Just she comes first.
And may the best woman win.
Love her and, you know, that's it. Show affection throughout the day or the week.
But not too much.
Not just for as foreplay.
What? Yeah. Don't just rub once and jump in, is what he said.
Right.
Australian rules.
Just rub once and jump in.
Jump in, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey. I'm coming up with some gems. I'm still excited about the first floor, okay, second floor, HJ. That's not bad.
It's really good.
That's what I think of when I go to massage places. Because you got to be careful in the city.
Okay.
You do. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks! I once went into a place that was an HJ, and I just got there. It was just awkward, because they're like, what are we going to do for you? I'm like, I don't know. A foot rub? Okay, I'll see you later. Yeah. How was I supposed to know?
What do you
Second
get?
Floor. HJ.
J.
All right, cool.